accepted ratio of one nurse to three patients. Hagan says that Montefiore has 760 vacancies. I don't feel like I'm doing a service to my patients, Montefiore emergency room nurse Judy Gonzalez told CNN, adding, I have patients who grab my shirt and I don't help them because I have to do something else. New York Governor Katie Hochul, a Democrat, has called for binding arbitration to stop the workers from striking. Arbitration agreements, however, are often skewed toward employers and strip unions and workers of power. As such, while the hospital supported Hochul's call, the union rejected it. Governor Hochul should listen to frontline COVID nurse heroes and respect federally protected labor and collective bargaining rights, the NYSNA said in a statement, adding, nurses don't want to strike. Bosses have pushed us to strike by refusing to seriously consider our proposals to address the desperate crisis of unsafe staffing that harms our patients. The nurses' strike kicks off what will likely be an active year in the labor movement after 2022 saw an escalation of unionization and strike activity, including numerous nursing strikes. One of last year's largest strikes was held by nurses in Minnesota in September, when 15,000 nurses walked off the job to protect safety, salary, and staffing shortfalls. The nurses voted again to ratify a strike 3 months later over the same issues, though that strike was averted when nurses voted to ratify a new contract that the union said would prevent reductions in staffing. Amid the pandemic, healthcare workers have been under increasing stress and have quit their jobs in record numbers. This has led to increased labor activity out of the 20 strikes recorded by the Department of Labor, which only records the strikes larger than 1,000 workers last year. Four of them were nurses' strikes. In 2021, meanwhile, Cornell University researchers found healthcare and social assistance workers made up over half of all workers involved in work stoppages in 2021. Meanwhile, Guardian reported hospital managers have criticized nurses for refusing an offer and accused workers of abandoning patients. In a statement to CNN, a Mount Sinai spokesperson, Lucia Lee, said NYSNA leadership walked out of negotiations shortly after 1 a.m. ET, refusing to accept the exact same 19.1% increased wage offer agreed to by eight other hospitals, including two other Mount Sinai Health System campuses, and disregarding the governor's solution to avoid a strike. Citing the 19.1% increase, a statement from Montefiore Medical Center accused union leaders of walking away from the bedsides of their patients. Nurses say the decision to strike came after Mount Sinai and Montefiore failed to take negotiations seriously. Their behavior at the negotiating table mimics the behavior they show us on the units every day, said Matt Allen, 37, a labor and delivery nurse, adding, they have been dismissive, they have been disrespectful, they ignore us. They are blaming us for abandoning patients and being irresponsible. But the hospital has been abandoning patients for the past several years when they refuse to give us adequate staffing.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصلي لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. السلام عليكم dear ladies from all around the world. Welcome to a new episode of Muslim Lady. Well, today's episode is all a celebration on the auspicious occasion of the blissful birthday of the world's most outstanding lady. فاطمة الزهراء سلام الله عليها.
فاطمة مولاتي فاطمة فاطمة مولاتي فاطمة فاطمة مولاتي فاطمة فاطمة مولاتي فاطمة فاطمة مولاتي فاطمة.
Here in the studio I have Sister Zainab to accompany us in this happy day. Well, congratulations, sister.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much. I also extend my hearty congratulations to you, Sister Asma, and to the audiences, and to all mothers, obviously, around the world.
Yes, yes. Well, as Sister Zainab just mentioned it, in my country, in Iran, the birthday of Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, is marked as the Mother's Day. So congratulations to all the mother out there from different parts of the world, and may it be a happy and blissful day to all of you.
Yes, inshallah. From my end as well,
I'm so glad
on this day, because after all, there's a day which is both named as Mother's Day and Women's Day in Iran. And I was so glad that everyone, when I came here and I saw everyone like going around getting gifts, and kind of shows how important you are. Otherwise...
It definitely is very important. We actually have celebration in different parts of Iran. In all the cities, you can see that. And the mothers are honored in this day.
Yes.
And the
shops are full.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. The shopping is on, and really great to know. And there should be a day when mothers are honored. There should be a day when women are honored. And what better day than this day?
Exactly. What day is better than this very blissful day to be marked as Mother's Day and Women's Day? Well, as you just listened, I recited a chapter of the Holy Book of Quran at the very beginning, and there are different sorts of interpretations upon this chapter. Now, Sister Zainab, shall you tell us a little bit about the interpretations that comes about the chapter Kawthar in the Holy Book of Quran?
As you started with the holy verses and the verse which is so much interpreted that it's about the...
Related to Lady Fatima.
Lady Fatima Zahra Salman. Although there are many interpretations that it may be a pond, it may be prophethood, it may be Lady Fatima Salman. A number, like there are more than 26 commentaries, what it could be, the word Kawthar itself. But as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Nisa verse 82, that why don't you contemplate? Why don't you do tadabbur in Quran? Why don't you put things one after the other so that you find accordance and sequence in the verses of Quran? Because if you do not find that, you'll say, you'll feel like it's from non-God.
Yeah, that's very true.
So yeah, while contemplating the verses, we have so much, like we can actually contemplate these, the three verses, the shortest surah of Quran. But when we go through the contemplation, we find out how Qusa can be related to Lady Zahra Sallallahu Alaihi.
Yeah, that's very true. So let's go for a short break, and after that, we will continue discussing.
In the name of Allah, the All-Beneficent, the All-Merciful, indeed we have given you abundance.
Welcome back, dear ladies. Well, you're listening to Muslim Lady. I am Asma, your host, and here with me I have Sister Zainab. And we actually are celebrating this very blissful birthday of Fatima Zahra Sallallahu Alaiha. We started talking about the verses of the chapter Kothar in the Holy Book of Quran, and Sister Zainab was telling us about the interpretations related to these verses.
Yes, sister. So, you know, in those days in Arab, the person who did not have a follower or a son was called his abdur, without a follower.
Baron.
It also has different interpretations. Some say that it's without a follower, without a son, without a progeny, someone who has no son, no kids and all. But, you know, pondering upon the verses of Quran, like the third verse, which says, "In nashane akahu wal abdur," means without any doubt that themselves... themselves are the they are up there themselves. They themselves are without any follower. They themselves are without any prosperity. They themselves are without any progeny. That means pondering on the verses, finding the connection. It says that somebody first has come and told this to Prophet that you are without progeny, because
that means you have no son to continue your
because sons in those days or even today.
To carry your name.
They carry your name. They carry your mission, actually, your school of thought, even. So when Prophet, peace be upon him, used to, you know, spread Islam in those days, and they were those ignorant people used to tell him that, oh, your job is gone because you don't have any son. So your mission is over. Your school of thought is over. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sympathizes him, condoles him, and tells him that those who tell you this, they themselves are without any follower. Their own school of thought is going to be end up...
Actually, this is another beautiful part of Islam itself. Because, you know, in those days when the Prophet was spreading the religion, all the people of that place that he was living in, well, so ignorant, and they were hostile toward their daughters, toward their baby girls even.
They were buried alive, everybody knows. And then even if someone had a daughter, they were not considered to be like someone who would carry out your mission. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala breaks this stereotype and says that we have provided, we will be providing you with abundance, goodness and abundance. And Kawthar means goodness and abundance. So many say this goodness and abundance is in the heavens. Many say it's the prophethood itself. I can say that it is all of these.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's Lady Zahra, salamalala, she is the one who is connecting prophethood with imamat.
So exactly. Actually, what happened is that from a girl, the name of the prophet is going to continue.
Yes, and like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is breaking the stereotype of Arabs it's not a boy who can carry out a mission. I mean, this is not a very feminist surah as well at the same time, but it is something telling you that you are very ignorant. It's not the sons who can take on your mission. It's even like a girl can carry out this mission.
Can do that mission.
He defines her as a connection between the prophethood and imamah.
Exactly. So thank you for staying tuned, dear listeners. Let's go for a short break and we'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
So, welcome back, dear listeners. You're still with us. We are talking about the verses of chapter Kauthar in the Holy Book of Quran. And Sister Zainab is telling us a lot about these verses. We actually came to the conclusion that these verses are telling us that it's not always a boy who is going to carry on your name. And in Islam, what happened is that from a girl, the name of the prophet has started to flourish.
Yes, it could be much more, and there are so many interpretations. As I said, there are more than 26 interpretations of the word Kauthar itself. But in as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a poetic way in Quran, it is exactly opposite of Abtar here. And the word Abtar, like if Abtar is if it's interpreted as you have no follower, mm-hmm. Kauthar is that you have abundance followers. Your name is going to remain there until the last day of judgment. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even provides a prophet with Kauthar, he tells him, now since I'm going to provide you with the goodness and abundance with Kauthar, you also go and pray Salat and sacrifice. And your sacrifice should not be small, it should be a big one. So it's a lesson for all of us. Like if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing us with something, we also got to express our thanks in the same way, in a better way, because here Allah is teaching us that and he's teaching this to his prophet. Like he could have told his prophet, oh, you're dearest to me, I don't need any thanks from you. Like we say, there's no thank you, there's no sorry.
Naturally.
Yeah, there is thank you. Thank you is always there. You should express thank you, especially towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who provides.
The name Fatima itself has got so much of interpretations. It's very beautiful that they say it means separated. And this separation has got to do with the people who are going to come after her. The people that are related to her father's religion.
Yeah.
So that means those who are going to attach to her will never fall into hell. They have been separated from hell.
Provided they behave like her.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Lady Fatima, salamu alayha, if you're referring to her titles, she had many titles. She was called with many names because she was like that. Like if I mention a few of them over here, she was called as Insia, which means that a human being having the best of the qualities, the best human qualities are reflected in this human being. Or she was even called Batul. Batul is a very pure woman who is away from all kind of impurity. So if on this woman day we make resolution that we apply all these the meanings of these titles in ourselves, definitely we are going to be
as
among
Muslim
those
ladies,
separated. Yeah, we are going to be among those separated whom she is going to choose on the last day of
judgment.
So she was also called as Taqiyah, which again means pure from any kind of sins. She's also called as Habibe, which means loving. She's also called as Hurre, which means a free woman.
Free woman.
But free from what? Free from any kind of lust. Free. She's not imprisoned in her
exactly,
lust. Because a human being has that kind of, you know,
vices inside of them.
Yes, but you should never get imprisoned.
Exactly. With
your, so if you're all women, we can, like, you know, learn from her titles how to be, why she was called with these titles, because she was those. She was also called as Huria, which means the heavenly women. She was called as Razia because she was always in a state of consent towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She was also called as Raqia, which means in a state of ruku towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many more names, if we go and ponder upon them and apply them, definitely we are going to be ladies on this day, can make resolutions
exactly.
to be among those whom she can select. And I again extend my congratulations to all Muslim ladies out there.
Thank you very much, Sister Zainab. And thank you, all the Muslim ladies. I wish you all the best and all the blissful things that might come from Allah. So until another session, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. But this waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Salam, friends, and let us reflect on what the Prophet's divinely designated heir, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, has said about prosperity in life and salvation in afterlife. Charity is an effective cure, and the actions of people in their present life will be before their eyes in the next life.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The story of the sky.
One. From 3,500 years before the birth of Jesus Christ until the late 20th century, about 14,500 wars have broken out and over 3 billion people have lost their lives due to wars. Only 300 years of history of mankind have actually passed in peace. This is what Conway Henderson says in his book. Ever since its emergence, the U.S. government has been a pioneer of wars all over the world by directly or indirectly waging wars in 37 countries. current figures on the U.S. military conflicts after World War II show that Washington's so-called plans to expand liberty have sent 20 to 30 million people to their graves. This is while military experts believe that for every one person that's killed in any war, there are 10 more people injured. This means the U.S. has so far caused incidents similar to the 9/11 attacks 10,000 times in different parts of the world. By looking into the U.S. background since its emergence, we don't see anything other than a bleak and bloody history of aggression, except for a few years. The fact of the matter is that West Asia was a focal point for the U.S. because of its strategic importance and the political geography and energy resources needed in the world. The U.S. military bases in the southern Persian Gulf littoral states, Turkey, Iraq, and Afghanistan, are proof. But there's only one reason for the U.S. presence in the region and its special attention to it, and that is Iran. In 1979, Iran shattered the political equations of the White House with its Islamic Revolution. Iran's progress during the 8-year war with Iraq, especially in its missiles industry, was beyond imagination, and it left the U.S. bewildered and, of course, worried more than any other country. Soon, Iranian missiles range reached the U.S. beating heart in the region, namely Tel Aviv. So, the alarm had now sounded for the Yankees to do something.
Iran aggressively pursues these weapons and exports terror. States like these and their terrorist allies constitute an axis of evil, arming to threaten the peace of the world.
On September 11th, 2001, the Twin Towers in New York collapsed after a fabricated scenario, and it paved the path for the U.S. to officially launch the military deployment to West Asia. So, the U.S. Army invaded Afghanistan on Sunday, October 7th, 2001, with its full military force. Two years later, on March 30th, 2003, the U.S. waged a new war in the region with its military aggression against Iraq under the pretext of another unfounded claim that Saddam Hussein's regime was making weapons of mass destruction. Yet, despite all of this, the question is, why would the U.S. send its military forces thousands of miles away from home? That's why, after 2002, the Pentagon allocated a huge budget for construction, equipping, and expansion of ground, naval, and air bases in the Persian Gulf and adjacent regions. The U.S. has 21 bases in 6 Persian Gulf Arab states that are currently the largest bases to provide the U.S. troops in the region with facilities and equipment. Among the 6 Persian Gulf nations, Kuwait hosts 6 U.S. bases. Although it is a small base, it gives the U.S. the largest access for facilities in the region. After Kuwait, Qatar hosts the highest number of bases for the terrorist U.S. Army. Oman and the United Arab Emirates didn't want to be left behind, so they also handed over swaths of their land to the Yankees. The U.S. adventurism in the region shows that with hundreds of intelligence units on the ground and thousands of hours of drone flights, they are supposed to control the region in a way that they do not miss any event in the region. These are only a few examples of the reasons behind U.S. military presence with its full force in the region to counter Iran. Concurrent with the military campaign, they piled pressure on Iran through diplomatic means and imposed missile and nuclear activities related sanctions to tighten the noose around the country. Iran's missile power would stop the U.S. from causing insecurity despite its muscle flexing in the region.
Every time I think about those kids,
that caused fury for the officials at the White House more than anything else. So they opted for the next option on the table. During all those years they were in Iraq, they churned out a new generation of murderers in the format of the Daesh terrorist group in their prisons, especially in Camp Buka, and triggered widespread bloodbaths and destruction in a large part of the region.
I call President Obama and Hillary Clinton the founders of ISIS. They're the founders. You get the MVP award. ISIS will hand her the most valuable player award. Her only competition is Barack Obama, between the two.
Muslims in the region, who were supposed to unite hands for the liberation of Palestine, were now at each other's throats after the accurately calculated scheme. So the occupied territories became a safer place for the Zionists. Costly arrangements in Iraq and Syria were made for the big cause, namely occupation of Iran. But they had overlooked this part of the plan. Reinforcing and reorganizing the formidable wall of the axis of resistance through the Islamic Republic of Iran's support. Anyways, the White House officials couldn't easily overcome the challenge, and the U.S. did not achieve a remarkable victory through this tactic either. Bearing the failures and Iran's invincibility had become harder for them. They decided to use Takfiri and MKO terrorist agents inside of Iran. Like their attacks on Iran's parliament, Imam Khomeini's shrine, and the army parade in Ahvaz. But it seems they had forgotten again that the fireworks would incur a huge wrath. The IRGC forces know full well what makes arrogant powers more enraged, so that's what they do against the enemies, so they'll taste the defeat more bitterly. Iran once again flaunted its missile power to the world, so they won't get any ideas about doing anything stupid. Now, in response to any aggression, Iran will level their bases to the ground with its ballistic missiles with pinpoint accuracy. After 8 years of destruction and cold-blooded carnage of civilians, Daesh had no achievement for the U.S. after the huge costs. And it meant a new hard defeat for the U.S. in its adventurism in West Asia.
$7 trillion. Not billion, not million. $7 trillion with a T. Nobody ever heard of the word trillion until 10 years ago. We spent $7 trillion in the Middle East.
The special images taken by IRGC Aerospace Forces experts from U.S. spy drones show the United States' all-out support for the terrorists in the region. The U.S. could not stand to see Iran's achievements against its terrorist groups. This time around, it bit off more than it could chew. Donald Trump's advisors had decided to revive the moribund maximum pressure campaign with a military shock. The best shock would be to eliminate one of the most important factors of the failure of U.S. policies in West Asia.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
At 1:20 a.m., Friday, January 3, 2020, something happened that shouldn't have.
Last night, at my direction, the United States military successfully executed a flawless precision strike that killed the number one terrorist anywhere in the world, Qasem Soleimani.
Trump, who was filled with fear, claimed responsibility for the attack. Yet, despite all of this, the gambler president threatened that in case Iran responded, 52 targets in Iran will be hit. The blatant rudeness had to be responded to quickly. Early morning on Wednesday, January 8th, 2020, at 1:20 a.m., 13 Qiyam and Fateh 313 ballistic missiles were fired from Kermanshah and destroyed a part of the U.S. Ain al-Assad base located in the western Al-Anbar province in Iraq.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about characteristics of a Muslim wife.
I never thought about all the things you have given to me. I never thanked you once. I was too proud to see the truth and prostrate to you. Until I took the first step, and that's when you opened the doors for me. Now, Allah, I realize what I was missing by being far from you.
Today, Wednesday, is the 18th of Jamadi Uthani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 21st of day, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of January, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by recitation of chapter An-Nisa, verse 35.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم فالصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله واللاتي تخافون نشوزهن فعظوهن واهجروهن في المضاجع واضربوهن فإن أطعنكم فلا تبغوا عليهن سبيلا إن الله كان عليا كبيرا.
Men are in charge of women by right of what Allah has given one over the other and what they spend for maintenance from their wealth. So righteous women are devoutly obedient, guarding in the husband's absence what Allah would have them guard. But those wives from whom you fear arrogance, first advise them, then if they persist, forsake them in bed, and finally strike them. But if they obey you once more, seek no means against them. Indeed, Allah is ever exalted and grand.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In family environment, the treatment cannot be dry and perform legally according to the spiritless court regulations. Hence, the Quran instructs that the arbitrators of this court must be of those who have kinship with the couple and are able to move their sentiments along the path of reconciliation. In ordinary courts, judges are often inattentive in the course of dispute, while in the family peace court, the arbitrators usually do their best to settle peace and sincerity between those two spouses and try to return them home.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawwarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. هديت قلبي شكرا نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا
We're speaking about characteristics of a Muslim wife. The Prophet of Islam, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, "One who marries has already guarded half of his religion. Therefore, he should fear Allah for the other half." In Islam, marriage is sacred and a lifelong commitment. We are searching for the person who will complete half of our deen, our religion. Though we may be distracted by our emotions and hormones and or by societal pressure and social media, we need to remind ourselves to follow the advice Islam has laid out for us when it comes to the qualities to look for a potential Muslim spouse. We should not be influenced by what society or culture may see as good qualities. Rather, look at those qualities that can help bring us closer to our Creator. The ultimate goal of an Islamic marriage is to strive together in gaining nearness to Allah. If we find a true partner who completes half of our deen, that relationship would also continue in the hereafter, inshallah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear and sisters around the world, Assalamu alaikum and welcome to this show. This is Ali, and inshallah, I will be with you with the topic that we are going to pause and discuss. That is the characteristics of a Muslim lady, a Muslim woman. In this show, we try to mention some of the characteristics of that noble lady. Lady Fatima Salam al-Aliha was a model for all the humanity, men and women. The next characteristic of this great lady of Islam was to respect her father. When this verse of Allah was revealed to the Holy Prophet, the verse that says, لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا, it was revealed to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Fatima, peace be upon her, addressed her father as the messenger of God. Imam Hussein alayhi salam narrates from his mother that she said that from the day this verse was revealed, the awe of that prophet prevented me from calling him father. When the prophet heard this news, he said, my daughter, this verse was not revealed about you and your family. It is not revealed to you because you belong to me and I belong to you. But this was revealed about the people of arrogance and tyranny who do not respect me. My daughter, you call me father. This is better for the peace of my heart. The next characteristic of this great lady of Islam was her commitment to moral obligations. It is said that when the Prophet ﷺ was supposed to give a female captive to Fatima ﷺ as a gift to help her with household chores, the Messenger of God sent one of the female captives to his daughter's house and ordered her to be tolerant with her. When Fatima heard this order from her father, she said to her father, O friend of God, things and affairs of the house were one day for me and one day for her. And it was like that in actuality as well.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
One of the most important characteristics to look for in a Muslim wife is marriage for the right reasons. A person should get married for the right reasons. This means that marriage should be looked at as a means of completing half one's deen, as well as achieving peace of heart and mind. It should be about having a best friend, a soulmate, to develop love and mercy for. If you're hoping to get married due to family pressures,
societal pressure, or other causes, then the foundation of this marriage will be weak. Take some time to ponder over the reasons. If you have the right intention and are sincere, inshallah, your marriage will be a prosperous.
Rabbuna Rabbul Qulubi wa huwa Allamul Ghuyub fi shuruqi wa fil ghurubi nuruhu yahdi al-asa. Rabbuna Rabbul Qulubi wa huwa Allamul Ghuyub fi shuruqi wa fil ghurubi nuruhu yahdi al-asa. ربنا الهادي الودود فضله ملء الوجود عفوه خير وجود فارتجي دوما رضا.
From the list of responsibilities of a Muslim wife, we reach to this obligation. Women have heavy responsibilities towards their husbands. Regarding a woman who takes good care of her husband, it can be said, with good manners, virtuous behavior, and kindness, she heartens her husband and turns her home into a focus of sincerity and love. In times of trouble and difficulty, she aids her husband and consoles and encourages him. She's trustworthy of her husband's property and avoids waste, extravagance, and thriftlessness. She encourages him to do good deeds. At home, she wears her best and most attractive clothes. She adorns herself. She works hard to manage the household and train the children well. She is faithful in her husband's secrets, trustworthy, loving, and compassionate.
You know, they say once there was a man, he had a friend who had instigated him against his wife, and he told him, look, you don't know how to run your house, let me teach you. So he gives him some advice and some tips. That day, the man feels like he's Superman. He goes to his house, and he tells her, honey, sit down. I need to tell you something. She's like, what? He's like, look, from now on, when I come back from work, you're going to open the door for me. You're going to remove my shoes and socks. You'll make me this wonderful supper. And then after that, you'll give me a good back massage. And then I want to watch TV. Get me some good dessert. Make me some good ice cream. And then in the morning when I wake up, you know what you have to do? She's like, yes, I know exactly what to do. He's like, what? She's like, I'm going to call the funeral home for them to pick you up. Some spouses, they have so much expectations for the other spouse to serve them. And by this, they ruin their marriage. It's a team. We're on one team. We need to work with another, help one another with house chores, house activities, raising the children, finances. Let's help out. This is necessary. The husband should help out at home. Imam Ali alayhi salam, in one hadith, he says, a man who helps out at home, who does house chores, God will give him the reward of a pilgrimage, of going to Mecca. And we know how important that is and how it carries such a huge reward in the eyes of God. It's a holy pilgrimage. You working in your own home, helping your spouse, this has a great reward.
That is an important topic to discuss. So inshallah, we follow and learn more about it. So we meet you soon. Have a nice time. Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside, I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.